until in 2014, we reached the digital rights island decision, the very famous decision on case C-293-12. This decision is from 8 April 2014, and it raised quite a bit of a challenge for criminal law practitioners. So to sum things up, now we'll not bother you, of course, with the details of the case. We don't have that much time, but there was this company called Digital Rights Island, this ONG, Digital Rights Island, who brought an action before the High Court in which it claimed that it had a mobile phone. It said, listen, I have a mobile phone. It's been registered since June 3, 2006. So this means that my data is being stored under the national legislation transposing the Data Retention Directive. I have used that mobile phone, and so I have, I am entitled to challenge the legality of national legislative measures for the retention of the data pertaining to my communications. This case was joined with another case, also from 2012, case C-594-12, where Mr. Zeitlinger and Choll and 11,128 other applicants sought the annulment of their national legislation. Precisely, this was, of course, Austrian legislation. They thought they sought the annulment because they considered it to be too invasive of their privacy. And the question to be decided was this: is the directive valid in light of Article 7, respect for private and family life, 8, protection of personal data, and 11, freedom of expression and information of the Charter, in light, of course, of the principle of proportionality? This was what was put before the European Court of Justice to decide. And the European Court of Justice concluded very briefly for the invalidity of the directive. But first of all, let's see what the Advocate General said, which the court followed in basic most aspects except for one. First of all, this directive contains limitations on the exercise of fundamental rights, and it does not foresee the necessary principles and the guarantees to regulate access to the data and their use. And so the directive lacked detail with regard to who could access the data, how could this data could be accessed, for how long could it be stored. 6 to 12 months was too much. And it was not necessary. The court agreed in most. They said the Data Retention Directive is basically applicable to everyone in the European Union without distinction, without exception. For such a serious measure, imagine the amount of information that is being stored just for this purpose. We don't have a balance, which means we don't have substantive or procedural rules on why and how the data can be accessed. We don't even say that the data requires a judicial warrant. It doesn't even say that the data needs to be stored in the EU, even though, in my opinion, this will already come from Directive 95-46-EU. This was one of the points mentioned by the court. It also did not provide adequate guarantees against abuse and unlawful access. And of course, it's a subject that I'm very sensitive about. It's applicable to people under professional secrecy. And so you can know with whom did a lawyer speak with, and by that, or a journalist. There was no data between the data to be, no correlation between the data to be retained and the specific threat. You just kept every data just in case you would need it. And the amount of data is not proportional to the purposes of its collection. And so the court said, with this data, you can know everything about a person. You can know everything about their private lives. You can know their habits. You can know who they speak with, where they are usually, who they deal with, the social environments that they frequent. And so this is a serious restriction to one's private life. Even without access to the data, the mere fact that this data exists and is stored is enough for this measure to be a serious restriction of one's private life. And of course, we know that it's for fighting serious crime. No one wants terrorists to act on the EU, but if we need to put on one side of the balance of the fighting the interest in fighting serious crime, and on the other side, the rights of the subjects that we are sacrificing, well, then we will see that there is not an adequate balance. We have much more people's rights being sacrificed than those who are being protected. And so what the court said was the directive was invalid. And so we cannot dislike the directive never existed. And why is this? Because even though the Advocate General said that, well, we think the directive is invalid, but still, given that it's into force for, 8 years, perhaps we should limit the invalidity's effects. The court didn't agree. And so they said, no, the directive is invalid since May 3, 2006. And so it is like the directive never existed. This, of course, is a problem because we have several countries keeping this bulk data. We have even some countries, which I think was the case of Sweden, that were convicted for, that were sentenced by the European Union because they didn't transpose the law in due time. And so they now are had to pay a fine for a directive that legally never existed, which of course raised a series of problems. And the first problem came, you can see that this, the decision is from 8 April. On 9 April, Tele2 Sverige, a provider of electronic communication services, went before the competent authority and said, well, we had a decision yesterday that was very relevant. I, as an electronic communication service provider, need to keep this data, but until yesterday, that was the case. From now on, it's no longer the case, and so I will delete every data that I have. Well, the Swedish Minister for Justice appointed a special reporter to analyze the impact of the Digital Rights Ireland judgment in Swedish legislation. This reporter said that, well, you cannot actually interpret the Digital Rights Ireland as saying that you cannot keep any data because the Digital Rights Ireland is a decision that has a series of reasons for considering the directives to be invalid. It's not just bulk and indiscriminate data retention. It's also the fact that it's too long, 2 years for keeping that data is too long. It's the fact that there was no need for a court order and all the facts that I already mentioned. And Tele2 wasn't convinced, and so they went to court and they said, you cannot pretend that our legislation is still valid under Article 15, number 1 of Directive 2002, because this is what was said. It was, okay, we don't have Directive 2006 creating that obligation for bulk data retention, but we still have Directive 2002, whose Article 15, number 1 that I previously mentioned, still allows for us to have legislation to keep bulk data. And so we don't have directive, but we have this. Tele2 Sverige said, no, this is not the case. And so we went to court. What they said was, while the directive establishes the general rule that traffic and location data should be erased or made anonymous when no longer required, Article 15, number 1 introduces a derogation from that general rule. And so we can create this, we can still keep data based on this legislation. There was a similar case that was decided together with this one, the Tele2 Sverige case. It was in the High Court of Justice. They said, Digital Rights Ireland judgment laid down mandatory requirements of EU law applicable to the legislation of member states. And so national legislation containing these provisions could not be compatible with the principles. Again, this was a question of proportionality. And so we went to court, and the court decided in the same line that it had decided previously with one minor detail. The court said, well, of course, Digital Rights Ireland is done, Directive 2006 is dead. Now let's see what about, even though it was in a decision that it was not general, but still, the court's reasoning was this. We need to fight serious crime, of course, but this does not justify in itself that national legislation can keep bulk indiscriminate general data of everyone. It's disproportional. And so the court concluded that Article 15, number 1 of Directive 2002 does not prevent the member state from adopting legislation permitting this bulk retention of data as long as this bulk retention of data is targeted. This means that you cannot keep data as you did previously in when the Directive 2006 was in force. What you can do is if you have a serious threat or a suspect that a threat will be occurring, then you can keep the data. Imagine that, for example, the Pope is coming to Lisbon. Well, this is a specific, or a chief of state is coming to Lisbon. This may be a risk in itself of an attack. And therefore, the court says, in this given circumstance, then you can keep the data. Or imagine if it's an airport, as the court will ultimately say in the latest, decisions. As long as you don't keep the data of everyone and you limit the data for a certain period of time, for certain categories of data, even for certain people, you can keep the data. But this does not mean that you can keep data of everyone for a given period of time. But this, of course, has to have a balance. And even though you can keep this data when it is targeted, you need to have clear and precise rules legislating it. You need to know that conditions may vary according to the nature of the measures taken for the purposes of prevention, investigation, detection, and prosecution of serious crime. And so you need to have objective criteria to justify keeping this data of these people. The court ultimately concluded that Article 15, number one of directive, needed to be interpreted in the same way that Directive 2006 was, but or based on the same principles, which was, it precludes national legislation for creating a general and indiscriminate retention of data. This, of course, is easily understandable. It would make no sense for the court to declare the invalidity of Directive 2006, the Data Retention Directive, and then say, okay, but if you do it under the exception of Article 2002 of Directive e-Privacy, you can do it. Especially because Article 15, number one, if you recall, is an exception to the rule that every data must be deleted. So every data must be deleted after billing, except in certain cases. And these cases are the ones that the court specifically mentioned. And so the court, this is the court's decision. The objective pursued by that access in the context of fighting crime is not restricted solely to fighting serious crime. And so a prior review needs to exist. And what happened was the court created, the court specified criteria for the previous decision. And so while the Digital Rights Ireland, the court says, even though they leave some hints as to this, what the solution could be, but the court says you cannot collect traffic and location data without any differentiation. In Teletus Veriga, the court specifies what is this differentiation. Target, you need to limit the categories of data, the means of communication, the effect, the person's concern, and the retention period. But this was still not enough.